Hello and welcome back to those of you who've joined me before, and welcome to anyone who's new to this podcast. This is Jenny from jennyhk.com, and wherever you are right now, I'm absolutely delighted you're here. I know you're all very busy people, so I am very grateful for your time. Now, I'm here to spread a bit of a message that I believe passionately about, is that absolutely you can design and build the lifestyle you want, regardless of your circumstances. And what I want to do today is jump straight on here and introduce you to someone that I met. It was an absolute privilege a few weeks ago, and I heard him speak and was delighted to be able to attend one of his workshops. And there, standing right in front of me, was someone that just epitomized what was possible in this world. And so I just had to get him on here for this podcast. He is a man that has truly crafted his businesses around the priorities in his life. But not only that, what really struck me was that he's made a real stand for focusing on purely what he loves to do and on his strengths, which I believe is one of the keys to being a successful lifestyle entrepreneur. And as a result, he's one of the most authentic people you can meet. I am talking about Paul Evans. He is an international speaker, a public speaker training, one of the world's leading internet marketers, among a host of other strings to your bow, which I'm sure you can tell us about. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, Jenny, thank you so much. I'm excited about being here today.
Pleasure. Well, it's great to talk to you. I'm hoping all the Brits over here will understand your accent.
I know this southern accent can be difficult, and they can contact you and get any interpretation that they need.
Yeah, I'll do a little transcript afterwards.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Paul, I'm clearly delighted you're here. You're a real inspiration as to really what is possible. What would be great is if you could just give us a quick background, a bit of your story and how you got started into this journey of really taking control of your lifestyle, not letting, you know, anyone else dictate what you do or don't do, and how that plays out for you today.
Sure, I'd be glad to share that. And like so many people, it came through a tragedy that really woke me up to the importance of prioritizing life, of allowing life to count, of not allowing your life to rule you and control you, but instead understand that we've got just this one life that we have to live, that we pour our energy, our time, our resources into for the betterment of everyone around us. And what happened was when I was 23 years old, my first wife, her name was Sherry, she passed away literally in my arms, died in my arms, and our son was 5 weeks old at the time.
Wow.
And yeah, because of that tragic event, you know, that was the eye-opener. As discouraging as it was, as overwhelming as it was, that's the moment that I'm able to point to at a relatively young age to say there was the decision. And the decision was that I always wanted to be there for my family, that I always wanted to attend, regardless of how many children I would have, I wanted to always attend their events. I never wanted it to be said that I would have to disappoint them by saying, you know, I'm not going to be able to be there because I have to work. And I realized that I was going to really shape my life and work around the priority of family, or the priority of giving, or the priority of flexibility in my life, so that I'd be able to take my strengths and then form a business around those so that I would be available to family. Now, shortly after that, it sounds like it's one of those smooth stories, like it goes from tragedy and then suddenly everything fell in line and I was successful. It didn't really go that smoothly. You know, once we make the decision, it doesn't mean that the next day every single thing falls in place. Like everyone who makes this type of decision, I faced some struggles, I faced some disappointments, I faced people who said, well, you're crazy. Don't you understand that you're supposed to get a job and you were supposed to clock in at a certain time and you're supposed to clock out at a certain time? Yeah. And so, you know, just like so many others, that didn't appeal to me. It didn't make sense to me. But I was fortunate to have an older person in my life at that time that was sort of a mentor, that I went and I was speaking with him, and I said, you know, it's really a struggle for me to fit into this traditional pattern of the workplace. And he was an architect, and he said, well, you know, Paul, here's the thing. In my business, I'll have several weeks where I'll be extremely motivated, extremely focused, and I'll get a lot done. But then I'll collapse for a week and just be worthless because I'm having to re-energize. And he shared with me that his work allowed him a lot of flexibility and a lot of time off, but also allowed him to work when he really wanted to work and to be off when he really wanted to be off. And so that really appealed to me. And he was the first person in my life that really said, this is what you can do. And you really can live that lifestyle dream. It's going to take some adjustments, and it isn't going to always be easy. But he was the first person to really give me permission to dream this way and to believe that it was actually possible. So I made a decision, but it really didn't start to take shape until there was a mentor in my life that said, you know what, you really can do this.
Yeah, and those are two of the key things, isn't it? That, I mean, first of all, you've got to make a decision, and so many people just don't do that or can't feel they can't make that decision. And that's the first big step. It's certainly what happened to me. It does sometimes take that point of either tragedy or, for me, it was just a frustrated mum. But
yeah,
you do get to that point, don't you, where you have to do something. And, you know, I think what you said there about someone giving you permission, because traditional society doesn't do that. It doesn't do that. So you do need to seek out those people who have done it. So that's a fantastic point. So, Paul, what are the businesses you run now? You have a number of them, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I really felt frustrated for a while, and I love that you used that word a second ago, that, you know, just being a frustrated mom, that you had to launch out there and do something to live that dream. Well, you know, likewise, when we start dreaming, we start doing some things, we can still have some frustrations. And my frustration was that I did not like focusing in one particular area. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like, again, tradition says you focus on one thing and you do that to the best of your ability. Well, my wife is a history teacher, and when I told her that I really needed to focus on something, she just kind of laughed and first said, well, that's not really possible. It's not in your wiring to focus on one thing, so you probably should give that up. And she said, second of all, and this is more of the U.S. history, and she said, well, if Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin had focused on one thing, they would not have been successful, that we would not have had many of the writings that we have today. We wouldn't have many of the inventions that we have today. We wouldn't have many of the farming mechanisms and plans that we have today if they had focused on something singular. And so I thought, well, there you go. There's a great point. If we look back throughout history, anyone's history, regardless of your background, your heritage, you're going to find individuals who were highly successful not necessarily focusing on one thing. And then you're going to find others who were highly successful simply focusing on one thing. And so I'm in multiple areas. My primary areas are, you mentioned earlier, communication and internet marketing, and also personal development. And then I have some other businesses that are strung out a little bit that I have business partners in. But the ones that I'm primarily responsible for solely are those three primary areas of communication, internet marketing, and personal development. And instead of that becoming difficult to juggle, instead it allows me extreme focus, because when I'm focusing on one thing, now I'm going to put some time and energy into it, but I don't end up getting bored. If I would just put all my energy into one thing, I'd probably get a little bit distracted and feel a little bit overwhelmed. About having three businesses to really focus on, this really makes it a lot easier for me to do the type of work that I want to do and to be successful in it, because I'm able to focus on three areas of strength instead of simply selecting one and trying to force it to work.
Yeah, and that's another, you know, very important point, isn't it? Focusing on your strengths. And that struck me when I met you in London, when you were speaking talked a lot about, you know, your height and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was so authentic in your speaking, and you're very open about what your strengths are, what they're not. And would you say that's been one of the biggest contributors to your success? I mean, really just focusing purely on what you're good at. Because a lot of entrepreneurs, when they start, we're all trying to do everything because we feel like we have to. Did you start like that, or is that something you've grown into?
You know, like anyone, it's going to be a piece that we grow into, in that we want to become stronger and stronger. But one of the things that I look for in life are patterns, things that have been repeated over and over and over again. And when it comes to communication, I began speaking, did my first public speaking gig, I guess, in the sixth grade as a valedictorian. You know, it didn't really mean much at all, actually. You know, being sixth grade valedictorian, I was not able to repeat after that. But that was the first speech that I gave. And then I began speaking, actually getting paid by the time I was 16. And there there was always this pattern of people asking me to speak. And so I thought, well, there it is. Instead of me saying, well, I'm not able to do that, or downplaying it, I realized that's an area that I need to be putting time and energy and resources in. Now, what I didn't do was to say, well, okay, people say that I can speak, and so I'm just going to allow that to be my strength, and I'm not going to get any training in it. Instead, when you recognize something as a strength, you start to build on that. So I've read hundreds of communication books, been to dozens of seminars, and joined many groups in order to strengthen what a lot of people recognized early on as a skill or a talent or a strength, but not to be satisfied with that. But the biggest problem is that we're often afraid to say that this is one of our strengths. We're afraid that people are going to think that we're bragging or that we're becoming arrogant. And we're not going to wear a T-shirt around that says, hey, I'm great at. You know, that's not the purpose of a strength. A strength is simply to recognize realistically the value that we bring to the table. And a strength does not mean that we are the absolute best on the planet. I wouldn't for a second tell anyone I'm the best speaker in the world, because it's not true. But can I get in front of a crowd, motivate them, inspire them, give them step-by-step instructions that are going to better their life? Absolutely, I can do that. And so that's not bragging, but it's to say this is a strength. I don't have to be the best, but I want to bring this message to an audience in a way that is going to be valuable to them. Just like your podcast and what you're sharing with your list, you're not out there claiming to be the best lifestyle expert, but you know you're good at it, and you know that your personality and your relationship with people is a strength. And instead of people shirking back from that, we should simply embrace it, take it to the masses, and say that we're using this not to brag on ourselves at all, but to bring value to the marketplace so that others' lives can be better because of it. In fact, we're doing a disservice if we hold it back.
Yeah, I mean, I've had to really get my head around that, because for me, podcasting was a step out of my comfort zone. I'd never done it before. But I think when you have a message and you have a passion behind it, then when you communicate that, that comes across. Well, at least I hope it does. It comes across. And I think a lot of people who I talk to and, you know, love the idea of it. They love the idea of having a business that they're passionate about, that they're able to build, but they just can't see what they can do and how, you know, where to start, really. So would you say, someone in that position, is it really about taking a really good look at what they've done, what people have said that they're good at in the past, and what their strengths are, and then starting to craft something around that, rather than trying to fit a business in a box?
Yeah, I really believe so, because anything that we're passionate about or anything that we bring strength to, we're going to be more successful in. And you're right, we need to take an evaluation, an assessment of where we are in life, what our education has been, what our experiences have been, whether that's job-related or whether it's just life experience. And even though I mentioned being in personal development, one of the things that I'm really not a fan of in this particular market is you have a lot of people out there saying, well, you can do it. And that's all they say. They don't say how, and they don't give you a relation to strengths or weaknesses. They just go, you can do anything you want to do. Well, that, you know, that's crazy talk.
Just think positively.
Here's a great way to discover what you're really good at. And it's another one of those things that we're a little bit uncomfortable with. But we need to be listening for compliments. When people say, hey, I really appreciate when you did X, Y, and Z. Or here's another compliment when someone's not necessarily saying this is what you're good at. They will ask your advice or ask your help. If they say, would you help me with, that's really a compliment. It means that people have recognized your strength, and now they're asking you for your value. So when someone says, Paul, would you come and be on this podcast, they're saying, we recognize your strength and want to invite you to this. If they say, and they would never say this to me, but if they said to someone else, hey, would you read this report and edit it for me? I'd love your feedback. Well, I'm terrible at editing, but if someone out there is listening and they have people that will ask them to be for help with editing or with grammar, well, boom, you can recognize that's your strength. When people ask you to help with something or they pay you a compliment, those are two areas that most people totally ignore. Because when it comes down to ourselves doing a personal assessment, we'll sit down and we'll cheat a little bit, and we will discount a lot of our strengths, and we don't want to give ourselves credit. But if we'll look for proof in the words and the actions of other people, then we're going to find out what we're really good at.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I have to say, when I first sat down and did that with myself, I think I ended up a sniveling mess. But, you know, you really got to get beyond that, haven't you? And it does. I don't know what it is about the human race, but we don't like to think about what we're good at. And it is, you're absolutely right. That's where the key is to identify that and get in touch with it. And it's from there that you start to hit on your purpose, which is, you know, what drives you forward. So lastly, Paul, I've got a quick question here. Now, you're a internet marketer, a very successful one, and a lot of lifestyle entrepreneurs have the lifestyle they have because they embrace technology. What would you say to people who are just technophobes and scared of it and don't know much about it? Do you think internet marketing to some degree is essential in terms of setting up a business that allows you to create these automated streams of income, passive income, you know, all these terms that are bandied around? Do you think people really do need to embrace that, or there's other ways?
Well, there are always alternatives. The question is, how fast do you want to embrace the lifestyle?
Yeah.
And so you think in the world that we live in today, that is heavy on a digital community, digital presence all around the world, whether it's Facebook or whether it's a blog, you know, all of that is online. Now, certainly a person can say, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to only have a physical business. But understand that in today's age, you are going to lengthen the amount of time to achieve success. And you're going to shorten the amount of time when you embrace technology and you're willing to stretch yourself just a bit. You don't have to know everything. There's only a handful of things you really need to know in order to be successful online. And certainly if people were to ask what's the minimum, I would say the minimum is you've got to have a blog. And I wouldn't even think about it as blogging nowadays. I would just think about how, in what format can I share my core message? How can I get my message out? And instead of thinking of a blog, just think of it as space your own personal market. Now, there's a couple of more things that you would want to add to that, you know, an autoresponder. Some people would say, well, you can really leverage Facebook as far as your list goes, but I really like having that on its own email list so I can communicate with those individuals a little more personally. And certainly when the time comes to sell products of your own, if you end up creating those, you're going to have a merchant account or a checkout system in order to take payments. But it's not that there's that much that you have to learn, but there is a little bit of a curve to overcome. But most of these things can be learned within a week or 2 weeks maximum.
Oh, Paul, I wish you'd told me that about 6 months ago. Great, Paul. That's fantastic. Thank you. I said we would do about 15 minutes, so I want to honour that because I know you're very busy. Paul, if people want to find out a little bit more about what you do or what you have to offer, where should they go?
Well, I would love for them to go to Paul B as in boy, Evans, EVANS.com, paulbevans.com. And that's where I share a lot of my thoughts and ideas on personal development. And honestly, I believe that the better person you become, the better your business becomes. And so at that site, what I share is a lot of personal development, a lot of thoughts, key ideas and principles for you just to become a better individual as you grow your business.
Brilliant. Thank you, Paul. I hugely appreciate your time. And it was an absolute pleasure to meet you a couple of weeks ago. And I'm sure I'll see you again. And let's speak again soon. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Jenny. You have a great night. We'll be right back.